So there's the new track, the new release from Candido on 6ix9ine Records, and You Don't Deserve My Love. Great tune. And on the line, live from Detroit, Michigan, I've got Candido himself. Candido, thank you very much for joining us here. Welcome to England.
Hey, I'm excited. I am very excited.
Yeah, I mean, what a great track, You Don't Deserve My Love. And written by Sam Burns, of course, and Charles Johnson. Sam was in Chapter 8, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. He was in Chapter 8. We did a show maybe about three years ago together, and actually from that union, we decided to talk about doing some songs together, so that's what we ended up doing.
Great stuff. So what are your musical roots? Did you start at work or in church, or in work, in school, or in church?
I started in church. My uncle was a pastor, Pastor Lomax,
mm-hmm.
and I was in the pastor chorus, and I was in the mother's chorus, and I was in the choir, and we had a quartet that I was in. My mother, she was actually a singer. She has such a beautiful voice. She's no longer with us, but when she was carrying me, she was actually in the choir. So then when I was born, she held me, and then when I got old enough, I stood next to her, and then I just kept on from there.
Great stuff. Because, of course, church music, gospel music was then and is still now a big part of Detroit's musical legacy, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Great.
Yeah, it all intertwines. The Motown and gospel music, gospel music is the basis of all music.
Hmm.
Even country music, Motown, pop, because it has such a pulse to it, and it tells such awesome stories, you know. So, and,
well, I mean, it's not just a story, it's sung from the heart, isn't it, gospel music? Absolutely. Same as soul music. That's what sets it all apart from all other genres for me. Because you don't hear music, you feel it.
That's right. Yep, I'm often asked, even like while I was touring with the Motown Experience, mm-hmm. I was asked what church I attended. Or even when people hear You Don't Deserve My Love or the flip side,
yeah.
They always ask me what church do I belong to, because like you said, it's something that you feel.
Yeah.
And it's not something that you can hide or you would want to. But even if you tried, you couldn't, because it just comes through.
Yeah, shines through. Great stuff. So you sort of graduated from your gospel roots into mainstream music, and you joined a band called Suede?
Yes, Suede.
Great. Tell me about that. How did that form? Who were you with?
We were in school, actually. In school. We started singing in school, and myself and a guy named Otis Keith. Mm-hmm. And we started off with like five members. Then it ended up being six. Then it boiled down to three. And
right.
One of the guys quit, and we met a guy named Jerry while we were learning to read music with Marcus Belgrave, the famous trumpeter from Detroit.
Right.
And we met him and Jerry, and we started singing together. And we actually started as... Well, we actually started in high school, then we became a gospel group, and then we became an R&B group.
Oh, fantastic. And you managed, yeah. You managed to secure a record deal with Redline Records.
Correct.
Brilliant.
Yeah, there was Ivy Joe Hunter, who wrote both the tunes.
Yeah.
And then we were connected to Mr. James Mitchell of the Detroit Emeralds.
Oh, right.
Who had a song called Feel the Need. And then, so he was giving us vocal lessons and also working on some more music for us. And then when he wasn't able to do it or to help him out, he had Mr. Charles, can't remember his last name, but he was in the Floaters. So Charles also gave us our routines and everything when we were stepping.
Great stuff. So you had some really big mentors then, because they've all, I mean, Ivy Joe Hunter in particular, he's done a lot of work, hasn't he?
Yes, he has.
Yeah, so you got a lot of good advice from there. And that's you need all the leg up you can get, don't you, all the support. And there's all the support around you in the soul scene, as far as I'm given to understand.
Yeah, they are so a seed in your life. They all give you, little tidbits of advice and things mm-hmm. that you should do. We learn how to take the mics off the stage, and we learn how to use our hands on stage, and how to captivate an audience, and just different things of that nature from all three of these people.
Great.
Ivy Joe really was detrimental in us.
Instrumental in your
recording.
Yeah.
Yeah, in recording and in our expression, because it's different. You actually have to tame your voice when you're singing R&B as opposed to gospel.
Right.
Taught us how to kind of, culture it and fine tune it.
Right. Yeah. Very good. So, right. Let's listen to the first side of that track. Open Up Your Mind to My Mind.
Crying for me, right here in my Let me hear your song before my life is gone. I've been waiting patiently, for your love to come along. Depending on love's history, I'm still waiting. For everyone, there is someone somewhere. But I've been hurt so many times before, I can't stand no more. Somebody pray for me. I can't help but wonder what the future holds for me. Will I make it out from under? I wonder, will my story end happily? Happily, I've tried and tried and tried.
There, we heard Suede from 1981 and Love Won't You Hurry before that. The other side, the flip, was Open Up Your Mind to My Mind. Great records. Great records. Were they well-received?
They were well-received, man. I love those tunes. And Open Up Your Mind was such a different tune for me because I was singing different. I'm usually like a kind of stronger voice.
Mm-hmm.
But he had me sing a little lighter on this tune, because it was more like a pop R&B. And it
right.
was actually played, because we, you know, at the time it was FM and AM, and we actually played that tune on AM. Martha Virginia Queen, she played that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
A big disc jockey here in Detroit. And then GPR played Love Won't You Hurry. We actually went on a show called The Scene here, which was a big show in Detroit as well, with Nat Morris as the host. And we went on there, and it was just an amazing experience.
That must have been really exciting. Because how old were you then?
Yeah.
Sort of late teens?
Yeah, we can say that.
Great, good stuff. So so after that takes us to 1981, then going through through the 80s and 90s and 2000s, where did your career take you?
Well, the group ended up breaking up. We the Jerry, the newest member of the group, he passed away.
Oh dear.
Yeah, so we kind of broke up from that, and of course Otis and I, we remained friends, and we're still friends to this day. So I started, you know, kind of traveling, doing clubs around here, and even doing some places, you know, around the country and this mm-hmm. sort of thing. And then I ended up with a guy named Simone Vitale, and we traveled a lot with him. He's a big guy, Italian guy here in Detroit, but also he plays around the world
right.
in the Italian community and also the Jewish community and this sort of thing.
Uh-huh. Lovely, because there's quite a lot of uptake in Europe for American soul music. It's very well received, and in fact, we often get American stars coming across to these shores to do like a weekend review, and they're all amazed. The common feedback is that in America, the music's quickly forgotten, and the Americans want the next thing and the next thing, and they want to stay current. Whereas England and Europe tend to have a more of a retrospective look and a bit more nostalgic, and they find something that they like and they cling to it, and they want more of the same. So yeah, I think you've got a big European market for your new stuff.
I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to my music being heard over there and even coming over there.
Because you spent some time singing with the Motown Experience, didn't you?
Absolutely.
Was that? Sorry, go on.
No, I'm sorry. It was a four-man group. One of the guys from the Hollywood and Temptations, another guy from the Miracles, and another guy from the guys who made Do You Love Me.
All right. The Contours.
Huh?
Contours. Do you love me? Do you?
I'm sorry.
No?
Cool Jerk.
Cool Jerk. Yeah, it's Contours. Yeah.
So we traveled around and we signed autographs, and we did all those awesome songs, Smokey Robinson and Michael Jackson, Temptations, Four Tops.
Well, of course, Smokey Robinson, his songwriting partner was Ivy Joe Hunter, so you've got another link there, haven't you, going back? Because Ivy Joe Hunter was instrumental in the two tracks for Suede. Yeah.
Right.
Beautiful, beautiful music. I mean, Motown is very, very popular to this day in England. In Europe, guaranteed dance floor fillers. And quite rightly so, because they've got such a back catalogue of great, great tracks. They certainly know how to produce music. So to be able to sing that and sing those harmonies and those arrangements must have been lovely.
It was unbelievable. It was like a dream come true. I was actually going to join a group called the Dramatics.
Oh, right. Yeah, I know the Dramatics.
I was rehearsing with them and everything, but this opportunity came, and like you said, it was Motown, and I just couldn't say no.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's simple, yeah.
Great stuff. And since then, you're back in the studio then, and you're recording fresh material.
Fresh material. Myself and a guy named Charles Manley, we're writing together. We also have, like I said, Mr. Paul Reiser, who is kind of executive producing and even will be doing some of the orchestration.
Mm-hmm.
Also, my son is playing overdub a lot of the music as well. I put piano parts and
this
sort of thing on it. And Charles Manley, he plays guitar. Him and I mm-hmm. actually wrote the actual tunes.
Great.
Very talented guy.
Great. So, I mean, if your current releases, You Don't Deserve My Love and Are You Going to Break My Heart, or anything to go by, I can't wait to hear the stuff that's following up behind. Any idea when it's going to be ready to air, ready for release and airplay?
I couldn't say right now, but it's going to be soon, I can tell you that.
We're talking months rather than weeks, or weeks rather than months?
We'll see. Well, all I can say is we're working diligently to get it happening.
Great stuff.
And just really excited about it.
Well, I'm excited about it too. So, fantastic. I wish you all the very best with your endeavours, and I can't wait to hear your new music. Candido, thanks so much for coming on the show, and I'll speak to you again soon.
Thank you so much. This has been awesome. This is Candido Live, and I'm saying I'm coming to an ear near you.
Brilliant. Good night.
Take you out on a date and take my